I'm Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock Nim.
We've been married for 22 years. We keep it real.
We keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
And this is Marriage Takeover. Welcome to another episode of Marriage Takeover.
Another one.
For those of you that are joining us on YouTube, thank you so much for following us and listening to us. If you're new to YouTube, make sure that you subscribe.
Yes.
And if you are listening to us on a podcast or live stream, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in.
We really appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you.
So my husband is a nutcase, just in case you didn't know, you're tuning in for the first time. So what we want to do on today is talk about covenant versus contract, or contract versus covenant.
Contract versus covenant.
However you want to, you know, wrap your head around it, whatever makes you feel good. That's what we're going to talk about on today. So before we get started, let's start with prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we want to tell you thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your unmerited favor.
Yes.
God,
yes.
We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing now in the name of Jesus. God, I ask now, Father, that your word, Father, come alive in the marriages that are watching in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
God, that your word, God, be the difference in the marriages, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask that you continue to bring the couples all on one accord, oh God, according to your word, that a three-cord strand is not easily broken.
Yes.
And so, Father God, we thank you for being intertwined into everything that we do, say, and hear, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we come against the hands of the enemy, oh God, that wants to bring division, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
God,
yes,
we rebuke
it
now, Father. We ask that your will be done in the name of Jesus. God, for even the couples now, Father, that may come to realize that they got married under a contract versus a covenant. Father God, I pray now that you can turn every contract into a covenant. In the name of Jesus. Father, because we know that the enemy will try to turn our covenant into a contract.
Yes,
and so, Father God, we pray now in the name of Jesus, God, that we continue to keep covenant with you and with each other. And Father, we thank you. We bless you. We say this prayer. In your darling son, Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. So if you are tuning in for the first time, my husband is a nutcase. If you're tuning in for the first time, we do everything on biblical principles, right? So we keep everything real, raw. We offer practical resources. However, we want to make sure that you know that you're in the right place if you're looking for biblical resources and principles. All right? So today, as we're talking about the covenant versus contract, I wanted to kind of break down and define, like, what's the difference between a contract and a covenant?
What is the difference between a contract and a covenant?
Right.
Are you asking me that question?
No.
Oh, okay.
So a contract is something that is an agreement that's made between more than you and another person, whether it's one or two people, that's written or spoken, and that's intended to be enforceable by law.
Mm.
So that's the contract.
That's the contract.
Right? And so if you think about a contract, whether it's, you know, a rental, a lease.
A gym membership.
when you go to buy a house.
A car.
Even sometimes a work contract,
yeah.
Right? When you go and you're on assignment to work.
Come on.
Those are some of the different contracts that I think of when I think of a contract. Like, you go into contracts with booking contracts.
Uh-huh.
When you want to invite somebody out to speak. When you want to have daycare. When you sign that contract, you're signing that contract that said that you're going to make this monthly payment every single month.
Right.
And in turn, they're going to provide daycare services, you know, during a specified time every single day.
Even your lease contract. You know how you lease cars?
Yeah.
How you lease homes? You know?
So that's
how you lease. How
so
you lease
those
buildings.
Are all contracts, right? So when you think about the contracts, you think about those different things. And so when you think about a covenant, though, the covenant is very different. The covenant is still an agreement between you and two or more people, right? You and another person. And it's something that you intend to or not intend to do. So it's you coming into an agreement of something that you are either specifying that you're going to do or that you're not going to do.
Really?
And that's with two or more people. And it's a promise to death.
It's promise to the end of your life.
So when you think about that, you think about the covenant that God made with us, right? So I think about that, and just kind of in preparation for today's podcast, there are many different covenants that were made in Scripture. And so we're going to talk about a couple. Go ahead.
Which one are you going to talk about?
Well, there were a couple. So there was the covenant with Noah.
Right.
There was a covenant with Abraham.
Uh-huh.
There was a covenant with Moses.
Okay.
A covenant with David.
Uh-huh.
And then the new covenant.
Okay.
The new, the new covenant.
Okay.
So those are different covenants. So I just wanted to just help you to identify, to understand, like, there were so many different covenants that were made, but we only really want to focus on, and only going to probably hit just a few. We probably won't even cover in this session.
In part one.
Right, all those different covenants.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about...
But before we get to the covenant, let's just go to the contract, and how the contract, on how couples view the contract versus actually viewing a covenant. Because when you look at
so what we wanted to do was to identify the two, right?
Uh-huh.
And then now let's bring it into the context of your marriage. Do you consider your marriage a contract?
Or do you
consider it a covenant?
Okay.
That's the question for you to ask, right?
That's for you to ask yourself. So take these 5 seconds and ask yourself, am I in a contract or am I in a covenant?
You really gonna get 5 seconds. So I want you to think about that in the context of when it's easy for people to divorce when they're in a contract.
Come on,
right?
Now.
So it's okay. This just is not working out.
Uh-huh.
So we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna break this contract. We're going to go to the courts and we're going to say, I know that we made an agreement to marry one another till death do us part.
Right.
However, because it's a contract, I want to now go and stop or breach this contract and say, I no longer want to submit to this contract. I no longer want to agree to this contract.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, you go to the law of court, you go to an attorney, and they charge you a certain amount of money. They talk about your rations, what you're going to split up, what you're going to keep.
Right.
And then you separate.
And then you separate.
And you divorce.
And you know, the funny thing is, what I've come to understand in this time is that even the courts or even the lawyers would ask, have you tried everything to keep it?
And they do. They ask you if you tried everything.
And like in some states, I know that
you have to be separated a year before you can even go to file for a divorce.
Right. So it's like, even it's funny because even the system is set up to recognize that with marriages, it's not a contract. It's actually a covenant.
And the system is set up for you to reconcile.
Right.
So if you go through the process, now we're not saying if you're in an abusive relationship, that's null and void. Get out.
Right.
This is if you can't seem to agree. This is if two people have come together and you've been in an immature state and somebody doesn't want to not be selfish. Somebody doesn't want to give up pride. Somebody doesn't want to give up, you know, their selfishness. Somebody doesn't want to give up listening or submitting.
Well, but I think that's the one part is that when you say, if you get with somebody that does not understand teamwork.
Well, you can understand teamwork because there are businesses, I'm talking about the operation of it. No, there are business owners, sweetheart, who have very effective and successful businesses who still go to divorce. And they still keep working. They understand teamwork. They understand those different things. But for whatever, in their mind, it's a contract.
Right, because they
can say, this is no longer working and I no longer want to move forward. Mm-hmm. That's the contract.
But what I'm saying is that because when you're looking at marriage, you're looking at where two come together as one, right? And when you're looking at that, because when you go to holy matrimony, whether you have a big wedding or you just go to the justice of the peace or the courthouse, it is still done within covenant. Because they say by the power invested in who? Me. And who is the me?
So I think that, honey, though, is a part of the challenge, right? We go and we get married with the intent of it being a contract versus us going with the intent of understanding that it's a covenant.
Right.
And so the covenant is really until death.
Right.
Even in your marriage vows, it says until death do us part, richer or for poor. So they're trying to let you know that regardless of whatever you're going through in your marriage, there are some things that you really should be able to work out. They're going to be the high points in your marriage. They're going to be the low points in your marriage. They're going to be the times where you just want to throw in the towel because you're going through something personally. Right. You're going through something in your family. Things just are not lining up where they're supposed to be lining up. So when you say that you do, I do, I want to marry this person, I want to be with this person until I die, then that means when things get really tough, it's a moment for you to check yourself to say, okay, is this me that I need to mature? Is this me where I need to lay down pride? Is this me where I need to now be more caring? What is taking place in my life in this moment that I need to readjust so that I can continue with the covenant?
Right. She on it today, ain't she, y'all? I'm the one talking. I'm enjoying this. Gone. Gone.
Don't enjoy it for too long.
Nope. Just shut down. Gone, girl. Do it.
So I'm just saying, so those are like the different things that you should consider, because I think for a long time you get it wrong. Like when we first got married, we weren't thinking about it being a covenant.
Oh, man. Now Jones, a straight contract. Well, no.
It was a relationship.
Right.
We got married because he was fine. We got married
because... wait a minute. I think I still am.
Okay, because he is fine.
Aha, get at your boy.
We got married because the sex was good. We couldn't live without each other because of the sex.
Dude.
Because of how he made me feel when we were together. Because of how...
Ooh, now, this is wrong, y'all. This is raw. I feel naked right now.
Oh, my
now.
God.
Ooh, I feel
because
so naked.
Of the experiences that we shared together.
Right.
But we hadn't hit bottom.
But right. Ooh, come on now. We didn't hit bottom.
So when we hit bottom and bills needed to be paid, and when we hit bottom and he couldn't find a job, when we hit bottom, it was like, whoa.
When we hit bottom, when she couldn't mature, right? Go ahead.
When we hit bottom and I was tired of the sex, then what?
Come on. Wait a minute.
Then you have to readjust to figure out.
My mind went somewhere else. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Then you have to readjust to figure out what do I need to do differently, because getting out is not the option.
But that's the thing. Because you said, what do I need to do differently? Wouldn't you think that it would be a we to do differently?
It is a we, but sometimes, and oftentimes, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, both spouses are not on the same page when you need to change.
Oh, when change needs to take place. Come
right.
On. It when takes two to tango, but what?
When change needs to take place, oftentimes, please hear me when I tell you this, oftentimes, you will both not be on the
same page
of who
change.
Needs to change and what needs to change.
No, it's not the who, it's the what, and this is why I say it.
Well, because in my mind,
I see us touching.
In my mind, he needed
right
to change.
In my mind, she needed to change.
Right.
Get your mind together.
But never once did we come together to say, listen, we both need to change. How are we going to change?
Or the moment I recognized that something was different, when it was the moment she said, I'm tired of being the way that I am.
Right.
And when I saw her do that, guess what it caused me to do?
Right.
It caused me to look at me.
And change.
And like, hold on. What do I need to do different? Because honestly, if we're not on the same page because we now hit bottom, that means that, maybe some of us, both of us need to change. Or maybe I need to mature more. Or maybe you need to mature more. All what I'm saying is that the change, when it begins to take place, you got to be mature enough within your own self not to point the finger, but look at you first.
And what's really, really important, we learned this years ago from Bishop T.D. Jakes and his wife, Sarita Jakes. You cannot change your spouse.
Exactly. On VHS, that's how long ago it was.
Change your spouse.
Right.
So stop looking at, he needs to change or she needs to change.
Right.
No, I need to change.
Raise your hand and say, I need to change.
Take the scout's honor and say,
I
need to change.
To change. Hallelujah. Come on, say it with me. Raise your right hand and say,
I need
to change.
To change.
Come on here now. So that's where it's at.
Right.
Because when the thing is that when we like now, when we either one, bump heads, two, not seeing eye to eye, three, not on the same page, I now step back and be like, okay, what's going on?
What is going on?
Because like today, in today's time, there is a lot that has taken place to where it has really rocked, you know, couples.
Right.
Because now we're around each other 24/7. You know what I'm saying? And so now it's like, huh, did I really sign up for this? Because now, because of what we've been faced with today, now we're really starting to understand who has a contract and who has a covenant.
And then what I appreciate most now is that I really do love this man that I'm married to.
I don't know
because
that,
when we are, I mean, think about it. When we're in COVID, when we're in all these different, like, it was just a matter of, whoa, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
There are a lot of people who are struggling now, even now, because when, beyond the pandemic,
right,
you had work,
right,
you had the kids' activities,
and schools,
you
right,
you had schools, you had all different sorts of opportunities,
right,
to stop you from being able to
100% focus
on one another.
Right, right.
You had different distractions.
Right.
You had different priorities. You had different things that came into the picture,
right,
that took your attention away from maybe the challenges that you faced.
Right.
So when you think about it in that particular perspective, it's really, wait a second. Dude,
wait a minute.
Is this really?
Is this what
I married a couple of years ago,
and
as the change took place, you found more things to occupy that space.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't have to deal with it.
So you have to deal with it, and you know, because the funny thing that I recognize that in this, that even in this season, you know, we've gotten more phone calls for help in this season, and my thing is because now you're around the person so much now, you're starting to recognize the changes.
Yeah,
because now you're just like, hold on, wait a minute. Normally, because understand this, because when you are good on your everyday day-to-day stuff,
right,
you fall into that whole regimen. So I know I'll be home by 6, so we're gonna eat, we're gonna, you know, talk a little bit, help the kids come in, we're gonna go to bed. You know, if you don't have any kids, it's like, you know, I'm gonna be home by 6 or 7. We're gonna have dinner, play footsies, and then, you know, have a conversation. That's it. But you fall into that regimen where it seems like it just happens to be an everyday thing. And even the same times when, you know, the weekend roll around, okay, well, you know, we got to go grocery shopping in the morning, and then I'm going to go run basketball, and you're going to go get your hair done. So it's like you fall into this already, you have just fell into the system that you just programmed.
Right.
But now you have to be around your spouse the whole time. Guess what? Now your system is out of whack.
Right.
So now it's like the one thing, I don't know if you remember back in 1999 when everybody was getting concerned about Y2K. Because they're saying that the computer wasn't going. But yeah, everybody was concerned, not thinking that the computer was going to be able to flip over to 2000. But guess what? It was pretty much the same thing with your system, when everybody now had to be home 24/7. Because now when it got to that second week, issues started to come up. Oh my God, like, when did you start doing this? Like, oh my God, like, ew. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're around, now you're seeing what you haven't seen before because of the system that you had already created for yourself.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that we also kind of took an opportunity to step back into the covenants and hit some points and some key highlights about.
Well, I thought we was just, because we were just dealing with or talking with the things that causes the contract.
Yeah.
Okay. I just make sure I was following. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Stay with me now. Stay with me.
So with the covenants, understanding that the basis of the covenants is to be able to establish a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about a covenant and you think about that you are making this agreement to death, that you don't just make that type of agreement with just anybody.
Come on.
It's based off of relationship.
Race relationship.
So based off of the relationship, which is why, you know, and however long you date, there's no specified time. There's no specified timeline.
I'll be honest.
But it's you want to make sure that it's God ordained and appointed.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know that? Because we didn't know that when we were dating.
We didn't know that. Praise the Lord.
We didn't know that when we were,
But even if. Let's just say, in your mind, you know what I mean? You don't know if it's God ordained, God appointed, because you just happen to fall in. You just happen to fall in love with who you fell in love with. My thing is, especially if you know that person loves you back the way that you give, or I guess in the way that they know how to love or what have you, then it's like, okay, am I willing to work? Because when you look at it, We didn't know it, but are you God ordained and appointed? See, because we didn't know it at the time, what about now?
I mean, now, yes.
Right. You see
but
what I'm saying?
Then I had no, you couldn't have told me. I had no clue.
No, but see, but now it turned into our testament. I'm not saying because you'll know if the person is right for you. I'm going to say that. It's just that, you know, because we put so much emphasis on,
sometimes you don't, though. There are a lot of people who are in relationships who say that, I think this is the one, or I know this is the one, and it turns out that they really aren't the one.
Well, I mean, and I get that, but
I know somebody now in a relationship who thinks they're the one.
Lord. Yes, I know who it is.
I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is that if you believe it,
how do you know, Pastor?
How do I know what?
If they're the one.
How do I know?
Because we have to make sure that we're breaking this down to practice.
So how did I know?
If there is a listener who is listening to this podcast on today,
uh-huh,
wherever they are, in their car, in their home, wherever they are, and they're saying, that sounds good, but that's me.
Right.
I'm in a relationship and I don't know if this person is the one.
So
how do I know that this person is the one?
Now y'all making me come out with this question right here. So for me, now my wife, Pastor T.
Oh Lord. Here we go.
But my wife, how I knew that she was the one, mind you, we both was in lust. But how I knew that she was the one, because she was the first girlfriend I fell in love with. And at the same time, I paid attention to my keys. Now,
my keys
were my grandmother. Because I'm just going to tell it real quick. So I had a friend of mine, real good friend, and actually she's a friend of both of us. So I had a friend of mine. We all went to my grandma's house. And so my mom thought that she was my girlfriend, but we were just friends. And
That's what he said. And the
funny thing is that they both have very similar...
No, we don't either.
No, I'm talking about skin color, height, like that. Yeah, think about it.
No.
Yeah, anyway.
No.
And so I remember my grandmother.
Wait a second. Men, do not try to compare your wife.
No. I wasn't comparing. No, I wasn't comparing. No, that's not what I was doing.
We do not look alike. We do not have similarities.
Okay.
We are both African American women. That's it.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bring Jesus back into this. But my keys was my grandmother. And because I wasn't the one to bring, you know, a whole bunch of females around my house. That just wasn't me. But if we were like real good friends, you know, yeah, you know, you met my people, what have you. But anyway, so this friend of mine, my grandma's like, would you leave him alone? That is not his girlfriend. That's what my grandma said to my mother. So then now probably a year later, I don't know. But anyway, so my wife, she comes up with me. And so now it's like, I said, hey, you know, we call my grandmother Ma. I said, hey, Ma, first thing she said, come on, baby, come sit right here by me. And when she came and sat there by, my grandma kissed her on the cheek. And my grandma said to me, every time I come to the house, do not come up there without her. Grandma wasn't playing, because I had to come to grandma's house like 2 days later. And she said, hey, where's that pretty girl of yours at? I said, well, grandma, she at home. She's like, go get her. I'm like, wait a minute. She lives like 45 minutes away. I got nothing but time, baby. Go get her. And ever since then, I went and got her, brought her back. She said, now, you had to be special to sit by grandma. Every time she came, grandma would move people out the way. Come sit here. No, sit on the floor. It's over there. Come here, baby. Come. And she would kiss her on the cheek every time. That was my key to say, hey, what I have chosen, grandma has just given me the stamp of approval. So for me, that was my key, even though I was still in lust. So that was that for me. So that's the only way I can tell you, if those people that you know, that you trust, see what you have, that actually know who you are, that know who you are. Hey, for me, that's what I went with, because when we got married, we was arguing like cats and dogs. People didn't think we was gonna survive 6 months.
We had running backs, y'all. And if you're a regular watcher, you know that. You're a regular listener, you know that. We say that all the time. We right. have running backs. But I just want to add this cat.
Add it, baby.
Right? He's a yin to my yang. So
I'm the what?
Yin to my yang.
I'm yin and the yang. Hallelujah.
So I just want to add just a little bit of context to that. If you don't have somebody in your life that you can trust and that you can rely on, maybe their spiritual guidance or their intuition about who you're dating right now or who you're in relationship with, one of the things that I would even submit to you, because God speaks to all of us.
Right.
And we should all have our own personal relationship with God. And right. so one of the things that I would submit to you is, before you make that decision, right, we hear sometimes that people go through changes, people go through cycles, people go through seasons, and sometimes we don't understand when people change, why they change.
Right.
And oftentimes it's because we haven't been with that person long enough to really experience how they behave or how they react into certain situations.
That's good.
So I submit to you that with your own personal relationship, that you, I don't want to say summons God, but you ask God, is this the person
that you
want me to be in covenant with for the rest of my life?
Right. Is this my covenant partner?
Is this my covenant partner?
Amen.
Is this the person that you're saying that I should be with till death do us part?
Right.
Because, and then when you ask that, when you pray for that and you seek God on that, don't move forward until he answers
until he responds. Until you receive an answer. Amen. Amen.
And when he shows it to you, don't try to make it something that it's not.
Right.
Because a lot of times we'll ask God that. God will show us, no, this ain't the one you're supposed to be with. And he'll reveal certain things. But because you love them and because they got money and because you feel good around them, you want to make it work. And then when you go to marry and you're in this situation, you're in the marriage and you're saying, this didn't work out, God. Why didn't this work out? And he's just sitting back like, I tried to tell you.
You don't
listen. Now you're mad at God and you're mad at all these different people because you got into a situation that God told you shouldn't have been in.
Right. You didn't want to listen because you still went after, oh, he's so fine or she's so fine. You went after that versus actually hearing what God has said. Because one thing that I have come to recognize that, you'll get to a point where you just be so desperate to where you end up just settling for anything.
Right.
But that settling that you're doing is pulling you further away from your purpose.
Right. You want to marry a purpose partner.
Come on, girl. A what kind of partner?
A purpose partner.
A purpose partner. Come on. Come
right.
on. Girl, that's like
a purpose partner, because here's the thing.
Like, a purpose partner.
You want to make sure, like, I get it.
Double P.
I have not been, and I have to be very, we're very transparent.
Yes.
We've been married for 22 years. I was 18 when we got married. So I didn't have a lot of single partners, or I didn't have a lot of different relationships that I was in prior to him. We were high school sweethearts. So I don't know the struggle that some people may have
right.
of not being married and trying to be into a relationship.
Right.
So here's what I want to say. The Bible says it is, who was it? Paul said that it's better to marry than to burn.
Than to burn. Amen.
Can we find that scripture? Because I want to make sure that we identify that scripture.
Find that scripture.
That is better to marry than to burn. But here's what I want to make sure that I also submit to you, that you don't want to just marry anybody for the sake of being able to have sex.
Come on now.
Because that's where we get into the trouble. That's where we move into the covenant and we think, oh, well, this is good. And I'm not bashing anybody who has been divorced. That is not what this is.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to get us to understand is, if we understand that as we are in relationship,
uh-huh.
that when we go to marry, that we are getting into that covenant.
Uh-huh.
That's something that can't be broken.
Amen.
Right?
Covenant.
So when we get into the covenant, it dies when you die.
Come on.
Now, if you have to be in a situation where you have, you know, you got to go through a divorce, and you go through the divorce and you do whatever is necessary, we're not here to bash you because you went through a divorce.
No.
That is not what
we're
doing.
That's not it.
We are not here to judge. We don't have a place to judge.
Nope.
And so God is the ultimate judge.
I already got to be judged by him. I don't need no other judge.
So what we're saying is, as you move forward to that next relationship, ask God, God, is this my covenant partner? Is this my purpose partner? Because as you move, everything that we do, everybody has a purpose. And a lot of us have tapped into our purposes, and some of us have not tapped into our purpose. The point is that I want to make sure that as you're seeking God for who you are, what he's called you to do, where he's called you to be, that you align yourself with somebody who is going to help you to carry out your purpose. And in turn, you help them to carry out their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So that scripture where you find is 1 Corinthians 7:9. But even as I was looking at it, when you start at verse 6, it says, "But I speak this by permission and not by commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. For I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even I have," meaning that it's good if you can be celibate. He says, "But if they cannot contain them, marry. But if you cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Meaning what? He's not saying this is just by permission, not by covenant. This is not a covenant saying. He's saying that, listen. So
it's not even a contract. It's a suggestion.
He's giving a suggestion. Right. It's not a contract. It's a suggestion. But he's saying, if you're going to do wrong, be right in trying to do it.
Right.
That's the best way I can kind of put it. Because he's saying, look, it's more in the blessing to marry. Why would you say that? Because of what? Come on here now. Because then that's where marriage takeover come into play. Because I decided to marry instead of burning, that tells me something. That tells me that all I got to do is fall into the alignment with God.
Right.
And now I can pray my way through every and any situation. Because one thing that I come to understand is that the covenant that we agree to in marriage during our I do, you do, we do, when we come into covenant, that's done on the covenant. But because we fail to pray during our rock bottom moment, our covenant turns into a contract. Come on here, Jesus.
Right.
But if we can learn to stay on our knees and pray, because in the covenant, it's three being intertwined when you say, I do, we do. I do, you do, we do. It's three being intertwined in that. So if he's saying in Ecclesiastes that a three-core covenant is not easily broken, that means someone has took the time to unravel the cords.
Right.
Through what? We unraveled the cords because we begin to move Christ out of this three-core situation.
And that's intentional. You can't just unravel a cord without having the intention to unravel.
Come on now.
Because if you think about it, I wish I had some yarn or some string.
We just threw it away. Praise him. Let me go find it. Hallelujah.
Oh my gosh. He is a nutcase. Did I tell y'all that already?
No, I did not.
If you are just tuning in, thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Marriage Takeover. And today we are talking about the covenant versus contract.
I had to grab my battle rope, huh? Come on here, Jesus. I had to grab my battle rope.
But I don't know that that's going to give me what I was looking for.
What you trying to look for?
I need the thread.
Look here. I got three coins that is intertwined right here.
Right. Okay.
I have three cords.
And so when you look at the cords, right, you have to intentionally come
and unravel,
separate them.
Come on.
You have to come and do some work in order to pull them apart so that it unravels.
Oh, yeah, this thing hard now. I ain't lying. My phone burning right
so
now.
So that it unravels, whether it's this big thick cord that you're working out with, or even if it's a little piece of thread. That's what I was looking for, a little piece of thread.
I'm sorry.
Only because it's intentional.
Come on.
So you have to intentionally take a piece of the thread, the weakest part of the thread.
Uh-huh.
The one that is kind of pulling
the,
apart.
The part that's stringing out.
The one that is...
that's shredding.
The one that is shredding. The one that is not all the way attached quite yet, just because it hadn't quite yet been developed.
Oh, you're preaching
or
that.
It had not yet been severed to where it no longer mends or rips apart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that and you take that piece of thread... You then take that, and then it, the weakest thing, then becomes the strongest thing to be able to come and to separate.
Amen.
But it's intentional.
It's intentional.
It's intentional.
My
and
God.
So it's intentional when you don't come together and you don't pray together.
Come on, it's intentional.
So it's intentional when you don't spend time to get to know one another. It's intentional when you don't have pillow talk and you don't spend that quality time with your spouse.
About it.
It's intentional when you have different things that may come up or different challenges and you don't deal with those challenges head on.
My God.
It then becomes intentional because what that does is it makes the weakest thing now stronger because now you're adding all those different
other
components to that piece of thread that's giving it some strength to then unravel
Everything else. Come on now. Jesus.
I felt that for somebody.
Don't, girl. You just freed somebody right there.
So I want you to think about that. It comes with you not respecting your spouse.
Come on.
And then your spouse may communicate that, but then you ignore it.
Mm.
That's what that piece of thread is. And so instead of continuing to deal with it, you continue to try to ignore it, or you continue to disrespect, or you continue to not address the small thing that then becomes the big thing. And then in a year, 2 years, or during a pandemic,
come on,
you're sitting at in your room looking at, how the heck did I get into this relationship? Or where the heck did we go wrong?
Come on.
And how am I looking at this dude now and I don't even want to be with him?
How am I looking at this woman now and I don't even want to be with her?
Like,
come on.
You start to think about those
things
because now you're trying to figure out,
how did I get here?
And so what marriage takeover does is we come in to just pour out really our life.
To let you know that guess what? God is still able to redeem and reconnect.
And to do the impossible. What
you
might think is the impossible, God comes and he does it.
He makes it possible. Come on.
We were
now.
On the edge of, we verge of divorce, and God has said, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
He stopped and he intervened immediately and on our behalf. And when he intervened, there were some things that we then, the unraveling that took place, God had to come in and to penetrate and to change me. And when I started to change, he changed him. And when he started to change, we came together and we said, listen, we lost our way because we took Christ out of the center. So when we put Christ back in the center, he can then say, okay, now allow me to start the mending process.
Come on now.
Allow me to start weaving those things together.
This is your purpose, partner.
And so when you think about that in a sense, sometimes you may have to go to counseling. I'm not stopping or admitting or saying that you don't need counseling. Some people need to go through the marriage counseling.
Right.
We are marriage coaches. And we get calls all the time because people are looking for marriage counseling. We can refer you to a counselor. We are not licensed counselors. But
we're coaches.
What we do is we're marriage coaches and we pour out our life and we help you through those different, the challenges that we overcame. I'm telling you, most of it comes from communication.
Right.
From finances.
Yep.
And communication.
And trust.
And trust.
Yep.
Those and communication.
And control.
And communication.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what you don't understand is there are so many things that we carry from our childhood as those baggages that we lay out and we unpack once we get married.
Right.
And whether you decide to get divorced and remarry, if you don't ever deal with those issues, all you're doing is taking the baggage from your childhood, now from your marriage, to the next marriage, to the next relationship.
Come on now.
So the one thing that we try to help people to identify is, okay, where's the root of that coming from?
Where's the root?
Why do you feel disrespected when I say this?
Come on now.
Why do you feel disrespected when I have a certain tone?
Amen.
Well, why does your tone change when you do this?
Mm-hmm.
What? Think about, like, start asking those questions. And ask the questions to where you're able to hear one another.
Right. And then also ask yourself, why do I respond the way I respond?
Right. Why do I get so upset when you ask me something?
Right.
Why do I get so upset when you say something? Why do I get so upset when you want to say that you want to have a meeting?
Right.
Those are the different questions that you should... Go ahead.
No. You was on it.
Those are the different questions that you should be asking yourselves and asking... And then sit and say, so based off of this podcast, do we really have a contract or do we have a covenant?
Ooh, you know what? Like, we gotta go into the covenant.
Do we have that or do... I mean, because we spent a lot on the contract.
You gotta go to part two.
But that covenant really is about a relationship.
Right.
So even with the contract, you can have a relationship, but your relationship isn't as intimate as it is when you have a covenant.
Yes.
Because you have to think about that. When Christ gave the ultimate covenant to be able to say that he came, he lived, he died, he rose, just so that we could have the possibility of being able to have eternity with him.
Mm.
So when you think about that...
Hold on, I got to correct you. He did that so that we can have... Now, it's not a possibility.
No. And you're right. So he did that so that we could have it, but he also knew, because he gave us choice,
right,
that some of us may not even choose that option.
Right.
To have eternal life.
That's why hell has the largest.
Right. So when I say the possibility, I say the possibility because we all might not get there. Because we all aren't going to make that decision. We all are not going to follow Christ. We all are not, because it's a choice.
But according to this, we pray that you make that choice.
Right,
to
absolutely.
Follow.
So that was absolutely. No. Thank you, baby. I appreciate that. No, so when I say possibility, it's only because everybody is not going to submit to Christ.
Come on.
And so when you think about that, he loved us enough. Not even, okay, so he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us, he knew everything about us, he designed all those different things. So he had a relationship with us before we were even here to want to have to come and to give us that eternity. So if he came without us even really being here in the physical form,
uh-huh,
to give us that relationship, that opportunity for that covenant,
come on,
then how are we different when we are here in the physical, when we do see one another, when we are present, when we have the ability to learn one another, we have the ability to change and to flow in the different seasons with one another and love with one another and to give birth and to have our own children and to procreate with one another? What makes us different that we can't have that same ability to have that covenant with our spouse?
Come on. Even when you begin to just look at the church itself, or you know how Christ dealt with the church, it's throughout Scripture that we're waiting on our bridegroom.
Right.
We're waiting on our groom to arrive,
right,
because we are the bride. And so when he correlates the marriage to the church, and when you begin to look at the church, who is the church? We're the church.
Right.
We're not talking about Greater Mount Episcopal of great leadership and all of those things, primitive, missionary, Baptist, Church of God in Christ, church. No, that's not, it's we are.
Right.
I am the church. So even when you begin to look at covenant in the ecclesiastical term, it's a solemn agreement between the members of a church, to act together in harmony with the precepts of the gospel. Meaning what? It's an agreement between members of the church to act together in harmony with the precepts of the gospel. Meaning what? We act together as one,
right,
in harmony with the word of God. That's basically what it is.
Right.
Because when you begin to look at it, and whose seed are we of? We are of Abraham's seed.
Right.
So when we begin to go back to look at the covenant that he made with Abraham, that leads us right into it. So you might want to pull it up. So, but when we go back and look at the covenant that he made with Abraham,
right,
we are Abraham's seed. So
right,
we fall under that covenant. So imagine what that covenant is if we're in this thing together and he says that that he's in the midst of it. So he's saying, listen, I'm with you all the way.
Right.
Question is, are you going to stay with me all the way?
Right.
Go ahead.
I pulled it up. Yeah, so the Abraham covenant covers in Genesis 12 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 12, chapter 12, and then also Genesis chapter 15. And so if you look through those scriptures and you look through those chapters, you'll see that God had given a blessing unto Abraham, where God promised Abraham land, descendants, and blessing.
Come on.
Right? Those are the things that God promised to him. The blessing promised to Abraham would extend all the way through the people of the earth.
Uh-huh.
Like, we are still, I believe, still receiving the promises and the blessings that God had given the covenant to Abraham.
Right. Now, look at this. I'm just showing you real quick.
Go ahead.
And when you look at, just go to 12:1. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and not from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. Meaning what? You got to now go into your own land. Because sometimes with us, we like to always stay under family.
Right.
Not with family, but under family.
Right.
So you got to understand that part. We try to stay under family, where the family have more control in our marriage than we do. So how can you walk in covenant if you're staying under family when he just said, get thee out of that country? I don't care what he's saying is, now you have to separate yourself from under family.
Right.
Ooh, glory to God. And then he says, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He said, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
Yes.
Meaning what? But I have to separate myself from being under family first. Then, now that he's just said that he's going to make us
uh-huh.
a great nation. Meaning what? That he's going to bless the things that our hands touch. Why? Because we came under obedience together and came from under family.
Ooh, right.
Come on here, Jesus. Here it says, and I will...
Put your microphone away, baby. You all of them.
I'm getting excited.
You're getting excited.
I'm sorry. Put my mic. Rub my cheek.
What you know?
And then he says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Meaning what? That anyone that comes in contact with you to be a blessing, guess what? Because you are operated under the covenant, now by them being a blessing to you, God is going to bless them. But then every last tongue that comes against you,
right,
that to curse your covenant that you have with God,
right,
guess what? Now God is going to reverse that thing and let it fall on them. And then he says what? Your seed is going to be blessed.
Right.
Your seed is going to be blessed. So what? Ooh, God, you're dealing with something right now.
And,
go ahead.
And what I just dropped in my spirit.
What dropped in there, baby?
It came to say, now Abraham is gone, but the covenant still remains.
The covenant. Come on now.
So all the people of the earth and his seed will be blessed. So even though Abraham is gone, the covenant and the blessings of the covenant and the promise that were bestowed unto Abraham, they're still taking place. They are still manifesting.
Mm-hmm. They're still manifesting. Amen.
They're still manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, how are we on time?
Oh, we still got 10 minutes.
Okay, good. So what I want to say, like, all of that was good, right? So, Tamika, let's keep it real, because when he is acting crazy in his right mind, the covenant and the thoughts of the covenant go right out the door. I get it. So the question then that I have to you is, do you want to remain in a contract, or do you now want to make sure that you are aligning yourself with the covenant and the promises of the covenant?
Amen.
Because
Speak for yourself.
No,
go ahead.
I'm speaking for the ladies.
Ladies!
What has kept me is understanding the covenant.
Mm.
And understanding that God gave us an awesome responsibility when it came to being the helpmeet.
Mm-hmm.
And being a woman, we have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
We have an amazing ability to be able to give life. We have I think about the song Girls Who Run the World's Girls. And so I think about that in the sense of when you think about a woman and you think about the power and the ability of the woman, she can do so much.
Yes, she can.
You have the ability, women, ladies, we have the ability to speak life.
Amen.
We have the ability to speak death.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to give life.
Uh-huh.
We have the ability to be the rib to make sure that we are girding up our husbands to where when people see them, that they rise and they call him blessed.
Amen. Come on now.
We have the ability to be able to pray over them.
Come on.
We have the ability to sanctify our husbands. We have the ability to also tear down our husbands.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to bring chaos into our homes.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to destroy our homes.
Come on.
And to destroy families. And so my question to you is, when you are in the middle of whatever it might seem as that turmoil going on in that in your mind, whether it's because he might feel disrespected, because you might feel disrespected, because there is no money, because the kids are acting crazy, because the kids are running amok. The question that I submit to you is, where do you want to align yourself?
Ooh, where do you want to align yourself?
What has helped me is, in the midst of the foolishness, is I said, okay, God, I can't deal with this. So I'm submitting to you so I can remain in covenant. As hard as it might seem, sometimes I'm quiet. I start singing. I start worshiping. I start to block out everything that is coming. Because the enemy knows your, they know your buttons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so any opportunity that it gets as you're going through this process of change, it's to say, okay, do I now revert back? And do I snap back? Do I clap back? Like, what am I going to do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to make a conscious decision and an intentional decision to say, okay, God, I'm going to remain in covenant. And you have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take action. You can't just pray. You can't just pray.
You got to walk in your prayer.
You got to walk in it.
Amen.
You got to live it out.
Amen.
You have to become the living word of God.
Yes. Yes.
And I think a lot of times in church, we get that mixed up. We just pray, quote all these scriptures, but we never become the living word of God.
Come on now.
So you have to become the living word of God. And so when all that stuff starts coming in your ear and when all those things start coming to you and you don't think that you can bear them, it's not for us to bear anyway.
Amen.
We go and we pour out our all over the altar and allow God to take care of those situations and allow God to step in the midst. And as we are praying over our spouses and our children and our homes and the jobs and the different things that are surrounding our families and that are impacting our families, we're sanctifying them.
Yes.
And as we are walking out the living word and becoming the living word, then guess what? God can then say, okay, I'm going to now insert myself to do what I want to do.
Come on now.
Amen. Because you have humbled yourself enough to align with where God wants you to be, and now he can do what he needs to do.
Amen. Amen. And you know, and I'm going to say ditto when it comes down to the men, but we have to understand, sometimes we have to understand, one, who we are. And a lot of times, a lot of us do not understand who we are. And what I mean by that, because if I say, oh, you're the man, you're the head of the house. Yeah, but do you understand what the head of the house means?
Right.
Do you understand what the head of the house entails? Do you understand? Because sometimes we can allow our women to overpower us, but because we just choose not to stand up. Because when you begin to look, I had to do a study on this. I don't know why this dropped in my spirit while she was talking. But that when it comes down to domestic disturbance, it's a higher percentage that is the woman that's doing, that's more of the domestic than it is the man. It's just that the man stand out because the scripture tells us that the woman is what? The weaker vessel. But what I'm saying is that the moment you stand up, man, the moment you stand up into place in the place that where God has placed you, because there's a lot of things that God did in her, because I know I was praying to God to help me to deal with what I was dealing with. I said, God, just help me to deal with it. However,
clarify stand up, please.
Huh?
Clarify stand up.
You got to stand up and what God has already ordained for you and who you are in your home. That means that you are the man. You are the strong one. You're the head. So it don't matter, come hell or high water, you're going to be dealt with.
You didn't clarify that enough. So when it says that you are the man.
She want to get right to the point.
That you are the stronger person. You're the stronger vessel. That does not mean that you dominate over the situation.
That's not what.
That does not mean that you hold pride and that you shuffle and you make those orders and you make those demands.
Wait a minute. No, that's not what I was saying.
I know.
That, I mean, that's what I was saying.
No, but I don't think you said it clearly. So I want to make sure that it's clarified.
Fine. See, this is where it comes into play right here. You're saying it live.
You're
saying it live. So I'm going to kick back and let her do her thing. Go ahead.
But here's the reason why I want to clarify, because a lot of times I have seen where the men in the church take that scripture, take that phrase, and they figure that is what I say. I'm the man, I'm the head of the house. That's not what that means.
But that's what I was getting to.
Okay, well then go.
I didn't move fast.
Go ahead and get there. That's why I said
go ahead on. Because you're about to wrap it up. No, because
that's why I was asking for you to clarify stand up.
Okay, because the thing is, just because you're the head of the house, that does not mean that everybody has to do what you say do. Because when you begin to look at the head of the house, you're the prophet, the priest, and the king. So I'm asking you this question. Are you the king because you're the one that goes to battle, not the one that get waited on? There's a difference. Because according to the scripture, that these kings went out to battle to protect their land, to protect their house. So are you standing up to protect your house as the king, as the prophet? As the prophet, are you before God to receive what God is saying to your land, to your house? Are you there?
So as the king, as the head of the household, that means you are praying. You are laboring before God. You are worshiping God. You are honoring God. You are spending time in prayer. That's what that means.
If you're spending time, right, because it's not pride. It's not jealousy. It's not envy. These things is what you go against. Right. Because sometimes we stand up, I'm man. No, you're prideful. That's what you are. You're prideful. Why? Because you're saying that you're man, but here your wife over here getting attacked, and you can't even stand up. Stop playing with me. No, you're prideful. No, oh my God, I just got aggressive right there. No, it does not matter, because here the enemy over here saying whatever to her, and you're standing right there. Stop playing with me. No, you should be before God so that you'll know what God is saying. Then you come down to being the priest of your home, meaning what? Now you're the one that speak the word of God over your house.
So when your family is getting ready to have a shift take place, you are already aware of that because you are the head of the household. You have been before God, and God has given you that warning.
Man.
So now you can prepare the family.
Exactly.
That's when, if your wife is having a bad day at work, that God will drop her on your spirit. Or if your kids are having a bad day at work, or they experience different spiritual forces that come against them that they may not understand, because you are the head of the house, because you have been laboring before God, you're able to identify that and to immediately start interceding on their behalf. That's what it is to be the head of the house.
That's what it is. It's not about you being waited on hand and foot, because this is the one thing that I've come to understand for myself, was that when I stood up to be the head of my house, being the king, because my wife would tell you, like, she was having an issue with somebody. I said, do I need to intervene? She said, no, baby, no, my reputation is on the line. If I can't get it right, I call you again. Why? Because I'm going to battle. There's no way that you're going to treat my wife. No. Why? Because there's no way you're going to treat me. Now, if you want to talk about getting prideful, that's when I get prideful. Because you're not going to just treat my wife like she's just some rogue kid. Ooh, I almost said something wrong. Is you quite know? But that's where, when I'm saying that you got to stand up, because when you submit to God and stand in the ways that God, watch, your wife will have no problem with cooking dinner. Your wife will have no problem with, you know, ironing your clothes,
your
whatever.
Your wife won't have a problem submitting.
Yeah, I mean, and doing
because,
the nice things.
Because you have submitted to God.
All that comes up.
Yes.
But even at the same, even if your wife don't do it in the month that you've been submitting to God, even if she don't do it in the 2 months that you've been submitting to God, keep submitting to God, because God is going to force the change.
Right.
I know it for myself.
Right.
Either you're going to either want to do better and turn around and say, okay, God, listen, I've tried everything. But it seems like it's not working. Why? Because I need you to prepare yourself for what God is doing in him. So you got to get it right. Here I am. I'm showing you now. You're praying and saying, God, any way you can use me, please. But now you don't want him to prepare you because now your husband is now standing up and being the man in his house. Why? Because right. He's seeking God. Because I tell you right now, God will give you the boldness, man. God will give you the boldness to stand up. But you got to want it. You got to want it in order to bring God glory. For what he delivers from you, he will bring you glory. Right. And that is our time. This is only part one of covenant versus contract. So we're going to have to come back. But tell you what, stay tuned. Please pick. Please listen on tune in to the podcast,
yes.
YouTube. Everything.
And remember to vote. I know that's a little sideways off cup. Remember to vote.
Remember to vote. Please cast your ballot.
We are going to go ahead and sign out with prayer. Thank you so much for listening and for tuning in. We really appreciate it. If you want to reach out and connect with us, we are at marriagetakeover@gmail.com, or you can visit the website at www.marriagetakeover.com. We would love to hear from you, and let's just connect. And we are, we would love to hear from you, and we would love to connect. My daughter is trying to get into the screen, so please step back. We are getting ready to end, so this is live coming to you now. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we honor you, and we just ask God now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would continue to have your way, Lord, with every couple, with every individual that is listening. Lord, that as they are identifying whether or not they are in a covenant or a contract relationship, that you would give them clarity, that you would bring peace to their homes, that you would help them to love on you more, that you would help them with identifying a relationship with you, that you would touch them, God, that you would let them experience you, let them know you, God, that you would have mercy on their situation in their homes now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
God, that you would restore the joy.
Restore.
That as they lean on you and as they identify you and as they place you back at the cornerstone where you should be, God, at the center, God, at the core of their relationship, that God, I'm asking that you would pour out blessings,
Lord,
that you would come into a covenant relationship, God, with them, that they will not have room enough to receive all the blessings that you're going to bestow upon them, that you will restore peace, that you will restore love, that you will restore the respect, that you will restore the joy, that you would just have your way, God, in their lives. The financial blessings would flow. God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just allow them to be the good stewards that you have created them to be. Show them and reveal to them, God, who they are.
Yes.
Let them know who they are in you, what you have in store for them, their purpose for their life, the purpose for their marriage, the purpose for them being parents, the purpose just in life, God. Reveal it to them now in the name of Jesus, God. You be glorified in their homes, in their marriage, in their life. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
We love you. We honor you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your girl, Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock, Nim.
And this is Marriage Takeover, signing out.